Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 233 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
Oh, man, I'm good. Nothing really new in the world. It's still hot in South Carolina. I'm ready for some cooled down weather, but I know I'll complain once baseball season's gone. It's fall and it's cold. I know I'll be complaining. So I'm going to savor these moments, the last few weeks of August and then September, because it'll become winter pretty quick without us realizing it.
Yep. Especially up here in Maine, it gets to be winter pretty damn quick. I just hope it's not like 50 degrees out in Arizona again, like it was last year.
It was
brutal. Like sitting there. I mean, obviously, I have my sweatshirt with me as I do every year just because I wear the sweatshirt to the airport because obviously it's cold here in Maine. But then I never think I have to get it out of my bag when we're out there. But yeah, I had to wear the damn sweatshirt at least one game. But one night when it just dropped down to like the high 40s, which I'm like, it's Arizona. What is going on? But yeah, it's still got a few more weeks of the minor league season here. Another, what, 3-4 weeks or so. And then we'll be out in Arizona before we know it. But this is our first episode of the week. We actually just recorded our later week episode that you'll hear on Friday with a guest there. Did a fun little episode there. So be on the lookout for that later on in the week. So I'm heading out to Virginia on Wednesday to see some family and take the kids to Six Flags and all that fun stuff. So I went up to bring my laptop with me to do any writing or recording. So got that second episode already recorded. Feels good. But today we're going over a lot of promotions. I mean, it's a lot of movements all around the minor leagues here and major leagues. Some major league promotions and then promotions from one level to the next in the minor league. So we will talk about them all because they're all pretty intriguing and notable names in the prospect world. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at AirCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynasty.go.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty, Prospect, and FYTPD rankings, plus daily write-ups and much more. But let's hop right into all these major league promotions, Chris. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the docket here, starting with kind of the two biggest names here that were both recently promoted, Noelvi Marte in Cincinnati and Mason Wynn with the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, both already doing a little bit here. Marte grabbed the steal the other day. Which one are you more excited about? I think coming into the year, Marte was a higher ranked guy. Now I think they're pretty close. So kind of who are you more intrigued by both this year and long term between Marte and Wynn?
They're different players. I think with Noelvi Marte, you're looking at definitely the bigger power profile. As we know, Wynn doesn't really have that kind of juice in his bat, despite putting up some decent home run numbers this year. But I do like Wynn more overall. I have him ranked higher. Mason Wynn has done a lot of impressive things this year. He's made a lot of impressive strides. His contact rates were insanely good, and they've always been good. Last year, I think Wynn's contact numbers were that of an above-average hitter. And this year just soared to like plus or higher numbers. You look at he had an 89% zone contact and an 83% overall contact. He is an aggressive hitter. He does have some chase, 30% chase this year. But the important thing to note is that he makes so much contact that it doesn't matter if he chases. Like 89% zone contact will play all day long. He's got great speed. He's incredible shortstop in the field, big arm. And he's going to provide on the base pass. He hasn't wowed on the base pass this year, but I think there's potential for a 2020 type. I'll lean on the safer side and say that Wynn's probably more of a 15 home run bat, at least, you know, in the more immediate future, because, you know, the power is coming around, but it's not quite there yet. We've seen his exit velocities tick up a hair throughout the year, but his exit velocities are still a bit below average. So I think Mason Wynn could be a 15 home run guy. Steals you 20 plus bases with a really good batting average too. And I think that he's just more well-rounded and a little bit safer than Noelvi Marte. So I lean Mason Wynn, but I also like Marte's profile, and that ballpark is a huge plus for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. And yeah, this one's tough for me. I mean, at this point, I have them very close in my rankings. I do agree that Mason Wynn, I think, is a bit safer. But then again, on the upside side of it, I would give the edge to Marte. And, you know, Marte's always been the one where the numbers have always been good. You know, like, never had like a bad season or a bad level. But we always seem to just be wanting a bit more from him, just given the raw tools that he brings to the table. Like, obviously, we talked, you know, ad nauseum on this podcast over the last 12 months about how he bulked up last year. And we saw that firsthand in the AFL. The guy is an absolute tank, but in a good way. But at the same time, like, you're like, all right, where is that additional game power? I mean, he's been hitting for solid game power. You know, he's not like he's underwhelming or, you know, under average in game power. But you look at his 11 home runs in 92 games this year. All right, decent. But I think we kind of were hoping for maybe double that so far, but still stealing bags. That was the next question I had once he bowled up. I'm like, all right, is he still going to run? This was a guy that had, you know, pretty solid run times and in the low minors before he bulked up. He had 24 steals in 2021. He had 23 in 2022. And he has 18 so far this year in 92 games. So still showing that, you know, he didn't sacrifice a lot of his speed to add bulk. So I do think it's kind of, what profile do you like? Do you want a little bit safer? Do you want a little bit more upside? I think if everything clicks with both these guys, I think Marte is the better player. I think there's more power in the profile. I think the speed output is probably pretty close. I would give the edge to Wynn in terms of, you know, how many stolen bases they'll probably have, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a gap. And they probably hit for a similar average, I think, long-term as well. So then you got to factor in the advantage of Great American Ballpark. So if that's what you're looking for, and you know, you want to go for that little bit extra upside, go Marte. But I think they're both very good players here. They're both going to be, you know, very solid for a long time. I think the better chance of staying at shortstop is absolutely Wynn, better defender, you know, cannon of an arm. Marte is probably third base, you know, long term. And how much shortstop has he played this year? He's still playing, yeah, about, let's see, one third of his games have been at short, but he's playing primarily third base this year. So that's probably where he ends up long term. But who knows? There's a lot of mouths to feed in that Cincinnati infield long term. So we'll see where he ends up. Next here on the list after those two, Nolan Schanuel, who only had how many games was it? 22 games, I think it was, in the minor leagues. And, you know, Michael Busch is sitting over there in AAA Oklahoma, like, what the heck do I have to do to get a damn call up here? But Nolan Schanuel so far has 3 games played, 3 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 1 K. You know, Chris, I think there's no, you know, question about, like, the hit tool, the approach is there. Like, this guy's a hit for high average. He's going to have a very high OBP. I mean, bigger OBP asset than average, even though he'll hit for a good average as well. But, like, where's the power? Obviously, as a first base DH type, you need that power to be there to truly be impactful. And I think that's the question. So I guess, how confident are you in the power coming along and him turning into a potential starting first baseman and for fantasy purposes?
Honestly, not. He put up really good college numbers, and even good college numbers against good opponents too. Like, we saw him perform well against Florida and against Miami. And honestly, the data was really good in college with aluminum bats. I mean, he put up really good exit velocities. We know the contact's there. I don't think that's ever been a question with Nolan Schanuel. There's great contact skills. And he also ran good EVs, as I mentioned. He had a 91 mile an hour average EV in college and a 106 90th percentile. But he topped out at 108, which is not great. His barrel rate was pretty low because of the amount of ground balls he hits. And he's pretty passive. He doesn't swing a lot. And also, I was told that his hardest hit ball on the Cape with a wood bat was 99 miles an hour. And honestly, the data so far this year has not been that great. Jeff Ponce did a good job writing him up when he got called up. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of power he gets to with wood, because there's been some big discrepancies with Nolan Schanuel's power. Like, we see something with wood, and then we see the total exact opposite with metal. I don't know. It's really interesting to me. He's a high contact guy. I wonder if he struggles to get to higher, like, major league fastballs because of his odd hand placement with his swing. His hands are very, very high. He moves a lot. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, but I don't know. I'm not sure the power is actually there. And his bat speed doesn't seem to be there for me to think that he can be a big power hitter that you need at first base. So, like, this is I hate this comp, but he looks like Eric Hosmer-ish.
I don't think anybody likes that comp.
No.
The other one I was kind of thinking of, I just want to make sure I'm thinking right here. This guy didn't hit for as high of an average as I thought. I was kind of thinking like Lyle Overbay, but Overbay was a good OBP guy for the most part until later on in his career. But early on, like, he was posting like 370, 380 OBPs when he was in Milwaukee and in Toronto back in the mid-2000s. But they kind of teetered off into his 30s. But I don't know. Yeah, I just – maybe he's 20 home runs at peak. I don't think there's going to be impactful. I don't think it'll be a zero, but I still think there'll be impactful power. So maybe he's maybe he develops into like a solid corner infield type. I can see that, but I don't see like a guy that you're going to be drafting as your starting first baseman either. Like, good average, good OBP, a little bit of pop, but yeah, I think this is going to limit him long-term, and I just don't trust the Angels at all. So who knows what he ends up turning into, but it's kind of funny. Like, everyone talks about how bad their player development is. Like, oh, let's just skip them right through the system.
Yeah.
Let's just skip that all together. Get that out of the way. But
can't poorly develop him if we don't develop him at all.
Right. You got to have that gif right there, or the meme of the guy like on the sidewalk pointing to his head. Like, you know, you can't mess him up if you don't put him through the minor leagues. Yep. But that's one of my favorite memes to use. But all right, a couple more, 3 more bats here, 2 of which in New York, who just were like the most recent ones we added to the list earlier this evening. Everson Pereira got the promotion, along with Oswald Peraza getting recalled. Obviously, he had a couple of stints with the Yankees earlier in the year. But let's start with Everson Pereira, Chris, who is a very kind of, hard player to rank. Obviously, there's good raw power there. You know, I think this could be a 25-plus home run bat. He's shown that consistently, especially this year. 18 home runs in 81 games, 8 in 35 games for Triple-A Scranton Wilkes-Barre. And, you know, can run a little bit too. Like, he had 21 steals last year, 11 this year. So, you know, everything clicks, 25 and 10, you know, maybe 12, 13, 14 steals, something like that. I think he's definitely in play here, but where does the average end up? Yeah, he's hitting 300 this year, but he's aggressive. Contact skills aren't the greatest. So, you know, is this a profile? Is he like a buy? Are you willing to invest in him in dynasty leagues right now? Or given the contact issues, is he more of a sell high for you right now?
I think I'd cash out if I could. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some early struggles against major league pitching. And I think that's a real possibility that he does struggle a bit. I'll be interested to see what he can do. The power speed, undeniably good. You look at the numbers, all supports that. He hits the ball incredibly hard. He's a good runner. I'm afraid he gets exploited against breaking pitches. He's hammered fastballs this year. Been really good against fastballs, but his contact rates aren't good in general, but they're really rough against breaking and off speed, and he's swinging and missing a ton. So changeups, has struggled with like a 30% swinging strike rate against changeups, 47% contact against breaking balls, 18% swinging strike rate, and a 60% contact. So I'm afraid he gets exploited there. I think his stock could fall. So yeah, he's probably a sell for me right now if I could get out from under him. This is the best time to sell a prospect when they get called up and there's a lot of hype around him. So if you can cash out, I would, because I think there's going to be some early struggles and then you can reinvest later, because I think he's going to be a fun fantasy player long term. Yeah. But in the short term, not so much.
And he's got that Yankees tax too. And, you know, good chance if you're in a 12, 15 team league, I think there's at least a 60 to 70% chance that one of those people is a Yankee fan. Obviously, this is how it goes. Yeah. Most popular team in America. So, yeah, I agree pretty much everything you just said, that I think long-term he's going to be fun. You know, I think, you know, he's going to have a chance to play. They already said that both these guys are going to play pretty regularly down the stretch, and you know, I don't see why not. So, but I do think this is a good time to sell. Just given all the hype, the Yankees tax, you know, the good stats in the minor leagues, I think you could cash out and get a pretty good return on him. But I agree with you. I do like the player long-term. I think there's, you know, 25-10, 25-15 type of profile. If everything clicks, he can make enough contact and to fully tap into his power and get on base enough. So do like the player long-term, though. What about Peraza, though, Chris? Obviously, Peraza, he's been very productive in AAA. I mean, this year, 14 and 16 in 63 games in AAA. Last year, you know, wasn't at AAA for long, but overall in the minor leagues, 18 and 38 in 115 games. But his time with the Yankees, you know, actually wasn't too bad. It didn't hit for a lot of, you know, power in that time, but hit 306 in 18 games last year. But this year, only 173 with only one extra base hit in 19 games. Obviously, he was a trendy early season, kind of like late round, you know, pick and a lot of redrafts. But then Volpe came on, took the job from him, and then he's back down AAA. So you still as high on him now as you were maybe, you know, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, I still like Oswald Peraza, but I'm not sure, like, we're looking at a great fantasy impact player. He's still young, so I'm willing to give him a chance. There's good speed, so the power's shown up too. I mean, you see the 14 home runs and 16 steals. In AAA, it looks pretty solid. But under the hood, it's kind of like, can he actually get to the power? Like, he doesn't barrel the ball much. His average EV is running near 85 miles an hour, which is well below average. There's some harder hit balls at the top end, but I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical that we see him end up being a, like, fantasy stud. Maybe he gets into 10 home run, 20 stolen base type territory, and maybe there's a little more juice than that. Maybe I'm underselling the power a bit, but like, where does the average lie? And that's the question, because the contact numbers are okay, and they've kind of progressively gotten worse throughout the year, which I don't love to see. So I'm interested in him to an extent, but not really.
So you're more out than in, is what I'm kind of getting?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, not fully out. Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I mean, I still have some faith in him. Like I said, I think there's still a decent little power speed blend there. You know, the fact that he could be maybe like a middle infield option for you long term. But yeah, I don't think this is going to be a guy that you're looking at as like a starting option or a guy that you're building around your team around, guy that's going to be like a, you know, top 100 guy or anything like that. But I do think there's still some value there. So I guess it kind of comes down to what the price tag is. Probably still, it was never like super high to begin with, the outside of the buzz and preseason for redraft. But for Dynasty, there's never like a super amount of buzz around him. So I feel like the price tag is probably still reasonable. So maybe you kick the tires this offseason, but see how he does later this year and kind of go from there. Next guy here, last hitter on the list, Parker Meadows, getting the call to Detroit. And probably get to imagine Justin Henry Molloy is not too far behind him. We'll see. But, you know, pretty solid year for Meadows. Obviously, younger brother of Austin Meadows in AAA this year. 256, 337, 474 in 517 plate appearances. 27 doubles, 19 home runs, 19 steals. Only caught two times. This after 20 and 17 last year. Again, only two caught stealing then. And 57 walks to 123 strikeouts. I mean, he's one where I solid power speed blend for sure. Where's the average, lined up? Obviously, he's been a guy that could walk at a decent clip, but I don't know. Like, he's a guy that's kind of been chilling in like my 125 to 150 range in my rankings for a while now. Can't put him top 100. It's not sure where, is he 240? Is he more than that? That's kind of what's holding me back. But where are you at on Parker Meadows?
I like Meadows a decent bit. He was actually pretty impressive in the AFL when we saw him. Yeah. I like the bat. Again, I don't know where the fantasy impact lies. I guess the biggest question with me. His contact numbers are better than you would think, like looking at the slash line. But he runs pretty respectable contact rates. I mean, he's above average. He was 77% in AAA and 87% zone, which is really good, actually. So maybe we see that tick up, the average tick up a bit. His ballpark, just not ideal that he's going to.
Right.
Like, that's a major turnoff for me with these Detroit hitters is that, yeah, you can have some respectable EVs, but it doesn't matter because power just goes to die. And I like Parker Meadows, but again, the fantasy impact, what is he? I mean, is he a 15-15 guy? And then where's the average lie? Like you mentioned, is he a 270 hitter? Is he 260 hitter? I think there's still some legitimate questions that need to be answered here. But I do think Meadows has the capability of being someone that's rosterable in deeper leagues with like five outfielders. But yeah, I'm not like crazy high on him, but he's at least semi-interesting.
Yeah, I kind of feel similarly to how I feel about like Ozzie Peraza. Like there's still some intrigue there. But I'm not like, super excited. I'm not like jumping in with 2 feet or anything like that. So, yeah, I think there's some decent value here. But I think where the average winds up will definitely, be a big X factor here is if he's just kind of low end or if he can be a little bit more than that for sure. The one arm on our list today, one that will be making his major league debut later on tonight, on Tuesday night when you're listening to this episode, Kyle Harrison with the San Francisco Giants. It was kind of rumored earlier in the month, I think it was Susan Slusser that made the tweet that they were saying that he's probably going to be up sooner rather than later. And sure enough, here about 2.5-3 weeks later, here is Kyle Harrison. And he's one where you look at the surface stats and they don't tell the whole story. Obviously, he spent all but one. He only had two innings done in the complex level rehabbing, but in 20 starts in the Pacific Coast League for Sacramento, 4.66 ERA and a 1.52 WHIP. You can really take that with a grain of salt, obviously. Very hitter-friendly league, of course, as everyone knows. But I think getting past that, the big issue that I've had, everyone should know this by now, is what I've been tweeting out a lot of, it's just the command and control is just not great at all. It's 40 grade for both, and I might be a little generous with that, with those grades. Like, he has a 16.3% walk rate this year in AAA, and yeah, it's come down a little bit over recently, but very small sample size. And I don't know, man, even with different rules now, like I just don't see this automatically just dropping a ton. Like, I feel similarly to what I felt about DL Hall. Great stuff, but I think there's a lot of reliever risk here, and I don't think he's going to be moved to the bullpen anytime soon. They're going to obviously give him a long time to try to, you know, figure it out at the major league level in terms of being in the rotation, but I think this is a guy that's going to be very frustrating to roster. I'll give you a couple of gems, it could be, give you a couple of blow-ups, like Rob, you know, all the good and bad about rostering Robbie Ray over the years. I don't know, man. This is why I'm more out than in, and I think if you have him, I think this might be a good time to cash out. But obviously the upside's there. But I want to hear your thoughts on Kyle Harrison too.
Well, he's interesting. The stuff has actually regressed a lot this year, which is weird to say, but like the movement profile on his pitches is not the same at all. The walks have been really bad. And I know you can claim and say, okay, yeah, he pitched. We know he's pitching in the PCL AAA where they have the automatic ball strike system. It's a tighter zone, but I've ran the data on the days that they don't, because they do it 3 days a week, and then they do the normal umpire with a challenge system the other 3 days of the week, and his strike rates are pretty identical on both. So
yep.
He's running very low strike rates, very high walk rates. I will say those numbers have gotten better since like July 1st, but it's still an 11% walk rate, which is down from like 19% that we saw prior to that.
It's better, so, but yeah.
It's a pretty significant drop there. But I think I'm more concerned about like his slider shape is just not the same at all. The slider's taken a step back with the velo too, which is obviously kind of notable.
Yeah, it's more slurvy now.
Yeah. Last year it set near 87. This year it's sitting near 84. You look at the movement profile on it, which is kind of interesting, and you've seen a ton of regression where it's gone from like 12 inches of horizontal movement down to like 6.5. That's very bizarre. I can't speak for certainty on this, but I'm almost wondering if they kind of played with his release point some, and it's just thrown a lot off. The extension's backed up a ton. Like the extension on it has gone from, it was at 6.3 last year to 5.7 this year. That's a pretty sizable difference. Yeah.
It's like half a foot or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. If it was down from like 6.3 to 6.1, then I'm like, okay, like whatever. Right. But that's a sizable drop back. And that hasn't been the case with, well, his other pitches have taken a step back, but not to that extent, I'll say. I don't know. Something weird's going on. I think they're tinkering with him. I think he's tinkering and trying to figure out this command thing too. And it's screwed with his arsenal a bit. I still like the stuff. He's a pretty fun guy when he's on.
Right.
But it's kind of like a hit or miss thing. I like Kyle Harrison. I think there's going to be a lot of bumps along the way early on, especially. He's young. That's to be expected, but a young pitcher with command issues.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Yeah, it's going to be a very bumpy road for him, I think, early on.
Yeah, that's why I'm more sell than buy. I think right now, I'm not going to say it's going to be peak value for him. So obviously, the upside's there. He could figure it out, but I think there's, you know, it's very, very high value right now. There's a lot of buzz with him making this debut. And yeah, a lot of trade deadlines have already passed. Maybe if yours hasn't, maybe look to cash out. If not, just hope that he doesn't completely blow up over the next month and a half in the major leagues and maybe try to look to cash out this offseason. But, you know, maybe he shows some growth by then. I'm not putting any money on it. I've seen him a couple times live. I just command is not there. And, you know, hitters were jumping on his fastball every time I saw him live. So we'll see. I'm more not fully out, obviously, because there's talent there, but I'm definitely more out than in. We will say that. All right. Moving over to the minor league promotions here. Got a bunch of them, most of which are actually with San Diego. We'll get to those in a little bit. For all the non-San Diego promotions, you know, of course, when they moved to Everson Pereira going up along with Peraza up to New York, you got Jason Dominguez going from AA to AAA. And yeah, it's been kind of a weird season, not a bad season. This is like a weird season for Jason Dominguez. Overall, you know, the numbers are solid. 254, 367, 414 slash, 15 home runs, 37 steals, and 109 games. You know, maybe a little bit of a step back in terms of the power production this year, but he's really started to heat up lately. You know, after a really rough June, actually really, you know, rough first 3 months, he had 140 in April, 237 in May, and 186 in June. But then since then, July 297, 372, 406 slash, and in August 380, 438, 608, five home runs combined in 42 games over July and August with 19 steals. It's, I feel like every time we talk about him, like every month and a half, 2 months, it's like the profile keeps like changing a little bit here and there, but obviously still very intriguing. Where are you at on Jason now? Is he a buy low for you? Is he a sell? Where are you at?
It's up and down. It's like I dropped him a hair in my last update just because he had been struggling, and then he proceeds to like go on an incredible heater.
Yep.
So it makes it so tough to evaluate with, you know, who is Jason Dominguez. Ultimately, I still think that he's going to be a pretty solid big league hitter. I'm pretty in on him, I'd say. Like, I still have him like top 30, and that may be high. I don't know. I don't know where people have him. I'll be curious where you have him. But his contact numbers have actually improved throughout the year, which is encouraging to see. And since July 1st, he's just been tearing it up. 331, 396, 492 slash. The K rate's dropped to 22%. The contact rate's at 79%, which is awesome. So is this the hitter that he's going to be? Not really sure. He's so up and down with who he is that I don't really know. But I still like Jason Dominguez long term. I'm excited to see what he can do in AAA, and I think he's going to be in the majors pretty soon. By midseason next year, I think we see him in the Bronx.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I don't think we see him this year, but I do think we see him by, you know, June, July next year. And I currently have him 26 right now. So, and he's one where it's like I was looking at like month to month, and he was like slowly ticking down. Then yeah, he's gone back up a little bit each of the last two updates, July and August. I mean, I had him preseason. Let's see, in February, I had him. Where is my? Let me go to April. That's probably a better one to look at. April, I had him 16th overall. So he's dropped a little bit from preseason, and I think he bottomed out in June. But even then, it wasn't too far down my rank. He was like around 40 in June. But yeah, he's just one that's always been really hard to rank. You know, obviously still has the big buzzy name, and he has ever since he had those ridiculous comps put on him a handful of years back after he signed with the Yankees. But I still think there's a good player in here. Is he going to be a stud? Probably not. But he's, you know, shown power. He's shown that he's willing to run often. He's fairly, you know, fairly efficient on the base pass as well. Only been caught, seven times this year in 44 attempts. So, where's the average end up? That's the question. Obviously, the OBP will be pretty solid. Always been guy that draws walks at a high clip, but he's really starting to heat up. You look at, you know, over the last, let's look at the last, 15 games here, 14 games dating back to August 5th, 397, 443, 683 with 9 doubles, 3 home runs. So starting to heat up a lot here in August, starting to tap into that power a little bit more as the season wears on here. So I think he's still like a top 25 caliber prospect for sure. The other non-Padres ones here, obviously two of the big names from the FYPD this year, Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens, both quickly to AA. You know, probably should have been there to begin with. But regardless, you know, not obviously not a lot to talk about here. Both have been dominant in their small, you know, sample sizes so far. You know, have you changed anything about your kind of ranking for them? I mean, Cruz, I moved up to, from 4 to 3 right now. I have him third behind Holiday and Churio, and then I moved him. I have Cameron at a 4. It's all nitpicking at that point. But anything change for you, or anything you want to say on these two before we move on to the next guys?
I mean, we saw Skeens throw the changeup, which is really solid pitch. Scouts before the season at LSU talked about the changeup being his best pitch. Just didn't need to throw it at LSU because his fastball slider were so good. If that continues to develop and he's throwing the fastball slider change, then he's going to be pretty lethal. I don't think there's any questioning that. And I mean, Dylan Cruz is doing exactly what you expect him to do. Now to double A, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. But I mean, now he's facing more appropriate competition because the competition he was facing in single A was honestly a lot worse than what he faced in the SEC.
I was about to say that. Like, I think SEC probably is closer to like high A, probably. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know why they was down there at all to begin with. And he even had one game in complex level. And maybe there's a reason behind that. I have no idea. But, yeah, you know, Cruz is top 3 prospect for me. Skeens, I think, has number, where did I move him to in this update? Number 11, almost put him 10th, and right behind Kobe Mayo, who's number 10 for me. So number one pitching prospect by a decent margin, then it's Tiedemann, then it's Horton, then it kind of drops off a good amount to other guys like Jobe and Snelling. But yeah, both these guys are double-A'd, and the season, probably see both of them at some point next season. Quick risers, not surprising whatsoever. Last non-Padres minor league promotion here. Go down to Tampa Bay and Xavier Isaac, who has been really tearing cover off the ball this year and not really getting, you know, kind of the buzz he should, because while he's performing very well, like the surface stats, while they're good, they're not like gaudy, right? 266, 380, 462 slash line with low A Charleston, 16 doubles, 13 home runs. Even had 10 steals, which is really surprising. I mean, even a guy like Xavier Isaac is stealing bags in this day and age. Yeah, 56 walks, 80 strikeouts. But the data, Chris, very, very impressive with Isaac. And now he gets to bump to high A. Very good test for him as a 19-year-old who won't be 20 until later on in the offseason. So really excited to see this promotion for him.
Yeah, he's very athletic. He actually impressed me a lot when they were in Columbia last week with his athleticism for his size. I mean, he moves well. I saw him, you know, busting out some infield hits, just hustling down the line, and I was pretty impressed. He hits the ball really hard, to no surprise. 108 mile an hour, 9th percentile EV is just pretty stellar overall. I mean, that's very high end stuff. He doesn't chase much at all. Very patient. There's questionable contact, like, and will he hit breakers consistently? Can he hit lefties? But he's still young, and he's still developing, and he's still been incredible despite that. So, yeah, Xavier Isaac is a dude I think that should be moving up a lot of boards. And I was wrong on him. I was not in on him preseason at all. The contact and the power, honestly, last year wasn't there. Like, the numbers just weren't there at all for me, and I didn't see it, and then this year he just impressive. So I really liked what I saw out of him, and the data kind of supports that. So, yeah, I'm a Xavier Isaac believer now.
Yeah, so am I. I think, you know, I was another one that wasn't, you know, super high on him in FYPDs last year, and, yep, proven to be wrong so far for sure. Where do you have him in your rankings, Chris? I've moved him. He's not top 50 for me yet, but he's getting pretty close. I have him at 55 right now. Where do you have him in your rankings?
I'm at 48, so just inside the top 50.
Okay, yeah, so both in that similar range for sure, and maybe we see him up in the 30s by the end of the season if this continues. I think that's definitely possible. But the last segment of the show, a lot of promotions over the last couple of days for the San Diego Padres, giving basically every one of their notable prospects a bump. Summarized, going from high A to double A, you got Ethan Salas, Graham Pauly, Nathan Martorella, Jacob Marcy, and Robbie Snelling. From low A to high A, Dylan Lesko and Samuel Zavala. And from complex level to low A, you got Dylan Head, exciting FYPD name. Let's start, obviously, though, with Ethan Salas. Like, my word, Chris, like, this guy just turned 17, was it early June, right? Yeah, June 1st. He He turned 17. And now he's in double A after only 9 games in high A, 48 games in low A, nothing at all in below low A, no complex, no DSL, nothing. He's, you know, that advanced. And, you know, well, the stats have been good. Obviously, you know, he hasn't like raked, and he only had 37 plate appearances in high A, hit 200, 7 hits over 9 games, no home runs. Does this feel like too aggressive to you, Chris? Like, I mean, obviously the upside is there. Like, we know that there's a reason why he's in double A at 17, but this just feels a little bit like, why, you know, like, why not just keep him in high A rest of the year and then start him in double A next year or something like that? I'm not sure what they gained, you know, what they gained from bumping him to double A after 9 games. I don't know. Maybe it's something I'm missing, but this feels, you know, a bit aggressive. No, that's nothing, you know, to do with fantasy analysis, but kind of, what are your thoughts about this promotion for Salas here? Obviously the player is great, but what are your thoughts on this?
It is pretty aggressive. I won't deny that. I think there's kind of a bigger picture here where ultimately I think that they just want him with this double A coaching staff. They feel really good about.
Yeah.
And they want to see how he develops there. He's going to get more time there. He'll get so good a month with this coaching staff now. And ultimately then probably start the year again in double A. So I have some familiarity there next year, but it is wild to think about that. This kid is younger than some guys that are going to be drafted next year. Like, he's younger than them and he's in double A. So that's pretty crazy to me to think about. But I won't say it's completely warranted, but he's been so good for his age. It's hard to ignore ultimately what he's done. And it'll be an incredible challenge. Like, I really do believe it's going to be a big challenge for him to see what he can do here. But we got a reminder, this guy was catching MLB pitching in spring training. So I don't know. It'll be fun to see. And I'm in, but it is aggressive for sure.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, is he the youngest one in my top 500? He's got to be close. Let's see. So I'm starting to do a quick highlight here. If anybody, it's not going to work. Yeah, he's got to be one of the youngest on my top 500 for sure. But there's a lot of intriguing prospects here. And with Salas, real quick before we go on to the next ones, and obviously, you know, and I wrote this on Rotoball or my dynasty notes, I think like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. I mean, obviously, I believe in the talent, but it almost feels like a good time to at least kick the tires to see what you could get for an Ethan Salas. I mean, maybe you'll regret it long term if he turns into a stud, you know, huge fantasy catcher. But at the same time, I think he's a better real-life catcher than fantasy. Not saying he can't be a good fantasy catcher, but I think this is a good time this offseason. Again, probably your deadline's passed, but at least just throw his name out there. See what you get. You might be surprised. It might be this like ridiculously good offer that you can't pass up. I think that's at least something to keep in mind. I'm not saying like sell by any means, but just something to keep in mind. Like, you know, maybe at least entertain the idea and throw his name out there, see what you get this offseason. But the other names here, a lot of intriguing. Like, all these names are pretty good risers. I think the next highest ranked here for both. Well, I mean, the next two, actually, I think they're pretty close to my rankings. Samuel Zavala, I just put top 50 overall. And Robbie Snelling, who is my number, I think, 6 pitching prospect now. I mean, after, you know, again, it's for me, it's top 3. You got Skeens, you got Tiedemann. You got Cade Horton. After that, I think you can go literally like 15 to 20 different ways, not to kind of spoil my rankings here. But after those three, my next ones, I have Jackson Jobe 4. Actually, I have Robbie Snelling 5, and then Mizziarowski, Tinkhans, Painter, Schultz, and AJ Smashover as my top 10 right now for pitching prospects. So Snelling has been dominating this year up to double A, still only 19 years old. I think more people will be talking about that if it wasn't for Ethan Salas being 2.5 years younger than that. But, you know, he's got an ERA under 2 this year, low walk rate, a high strikeout rate, and, you know, got the really good fastball, curveball mix, changeup showing a little bit of development this year, above average command and control, maybe even plus command and control. Very high on him. You know, I'll let you wax poetically about Samuel Zavala, but these guys are both guys I'm very high on. Zavala and Snelling, you know, both are top 50 caliber prospects. And I think still, even though they're from the Padres org, I think they're both still a bit undervalued. As crazy as that is to say, Chris.
Yeah, so certainly agree with Snelling. I mean, incredible athlete, just big time stuff that I think is only going to get better. Like, he's not been a pitcher for that long and is already showing really good stuff. Zavala is interesting because I was kind of out on him, actually, like at the beginning of the year, because the contact was just so bad. Like, you look at the kind of the spread over the season and how the contact has kind of sorted itself out. It's interesting to see. So the first 2 months of the season running a 66% contact rate, which is horrific. That's not passable at all. I mean, striking out 28% of the time, but it's actually improved like all season. And that's kind of like pretty encouraging to see. And since July 1st, running 73% contact, which is great. He's passive. He's walking as much as he strikes out, but a 289 average since July 1st, 459 OBP and a 555 slug. Just absolutely nuts. The power's there, their speed. So if the contact skills can hold, then we are looking at a very, very talented fantasy prospect.
Yeah. I mean, the all around skills are there. You mentioned the improved contact skills this year. High walk rate, keeps the K rate in check, good power speed blend as well. Seems like a great guy. I never actually talked to him, but, you know, Chris Walsh has, you know, he said good things about him. So, yeah, definitely, I'm rooting for Sammy Zavala, and I think there's a very good all-around prospect here that I think he's only going to continue to rise. I think you can see him be top 25 sooner rather than later. And there's still a few more intriguing names here. Obviously, Dylan Lesko, you know, one of the higher upside pitching prospects in all of the minor leagues. Graham Pauly, I think, is a name that kind of, you know, I think, do you think it's fair to say that Graham Pauly kind of came out of nowhere, Chris? I mean, he wasn't completely unknown, but he wasn't really on the radar in a lot of, you know, unless it was a super deep league, but he's having a phenomenal year, low A and high A, 107 games combined, up to 20 home runs, 20 steals now with 22 doubles, 305, 396, 535 slash line. Very impressive, and a guy that I think the perceived value is still very much lower than his actual values. I have him in my top 125 now. I think he's definitely kind of warranted a jump that high, and I'll be interested to see where you have him in your rankings, Chris.
Actually, not as high as you right now. He's, I don't remember, I'll have to look exactly where I have him. But yeah, I mean, I will say that he kind of came out of nowhere this year. I mean, he was a 13th rounder in last year's draft out of Duke. And you know, he was decent last year, but not great. But he really began to jump on my radar in June when I'd gotten some barrel rate numbers and he had like the 20th highest barrel rate in all of minor league baseball. And I was like, oh, dang, he wasn't homering at all. Like,
yeah,
this was, but well before this was, I mean, in low A, I mean, he had five home runs and 276 plate appearances. He was hitting the ball like he was making good contact, posting good slash line. But my maybe infamous tweet about saying that if you're in on Chase Mydroth, you should be in on Graham Pauly was like somewhere in June timeframe, because I was like, okay, like Pauly just barrels the heck out of the ball and eventually it's going to come around and produce. And like it has, like he's an incredible hitter. He's patient. He doesn't chase at all. His power's there. I mean, he's running pretty high EVs. He's making a ton of end zone contact. And then is what he's done in high A in a pitcher friendly environment has been stellar. I mean, Fort Wayne is a very pitcher friendly park. Yep. And yet he's hit 16 home runs in 45 games as a 629 slug. That's absolutely nuts. I think Graham Pauly is legit. Maybe I'm low on him. Like, I've had him hovering in my top 200 for months now, and I haven't really like gone super aggressive on him, but maybe that's a mistake. We'll see what he can do in double A. I'll tell you, it's going to be telling what we'll see in double A for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a guy that made I was lower on him, and then he made the big jump for me this past update up to, let me see where the exact number is here. See, I have, let's see, I got to get the filter off of pitchers here. I have Graham Pauly at 120 right now. So, yeah, definitely really intrigued by what I'm seeing here. Obviously, you know, you mentioned the high barrel rate coming into his own in the power department. It is kind of weird, though. Like, you look at his low A, low A and high A numbers. It feels like they're backwards. You know, like, he was in a hitter-friendly California League, had 4 home runs in 62 games, and then goes to the pitcher-friendly Midwest League, 16 in 45 games. That feels ass backwards. But, yeah, very, very intriguing. I think he's still a pretty good buy here in Dynasty Leagues. And I guess we could round up the show with Nathan Martorella, who also gets the bump from high A Fort Wayne to double A Amarillo, slashing 259, 371, 450 overall this season in 112 games, 483 plate appearances, 26 doubles, 16 home runs, 73 walks, 87 Ks. I know you were really high on him earlier in the season. Is that still the case, Chris?
He's faded a little bit, honestly. Yeah, I was very in on him early, and yeah, he kind of slid a bit. Still high on him, to have him just outside my top 100, but he hasn't been nearly as good as he was in the early going. Like, you look at his sample through the first couple months, and he was absolutely killing it through May. So 2 months of sample, 194 plate appearances, was slashing 280, 392, 491 with 80% contact rate, walking more than he struck out. That's pretty impressive. But then since June 1st, it's kind of like trended in the wrong direction a hair. I mean, 245, 356, 422. Yeah, the contact rate's dropped to 74.5%. And it's kind of continued to tank even more, like, as the year has gone on. Like, you kind of just, you know, look at the filter, and the contact rate is continuing to go down in like the 73% range. And that's not ideal by any means. Again, I'm willing to give him a bit of a pass. I believe in the hit tool. I believe in the OBP skills for sure. But I just wonder, like, who is he? Like, I think we'll really know more in double A. But yeah, in a general sense, like, I like the bat a lot.
Where do you have? Do you still have him like top 200 in your rankings, or is he falling a little bit from there?
Yeah, he's like top 125, if I'm not mistaken. I will. Okay. Yeah, he's 120 right now, so I haven't completely tanked him, but still believe.
So, do you prefer long term? Who, if you could hitch your wagon to one between him and Graham Pauly, who would you rather invest in?
Probably Pauly at this point, just knowing, like, yeah, you look at the underlying data and it's like, okay, like it definitely shows that Graham Pauly is like doing everything that you want him to do. And some people will knock the age, like, I get that. It's whatever. I mean, he I don't even think he's 23 yet, but
no, he'll be 23 in about a month.
Yeah, I mean, so he's 22 in high A, but it's all relative to his draft age. So, you know, like, it's easy to knock him, I think, because of that, but you can't ignore what he did. Especially like Martorella, 22 also. So it's like, I mean, just compare the two, and like, I'll take Pauly based on what they've done and what everything kind of suggests.
Yeah, and Pauly can add a bit of speed as well, something that Martorella probably won't be adding much of. So yeah, I think I like them both, but yeah, I'd give the edge to Graham Pauly as well. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up. A lot of movement across baseball, across various levels right now. So it's good to sit down and talk about it. A lot of intriguing names here at various levels. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.